Welcome to Healing Unto the Nations, the Apostolic Teaching Ministry and World Outreach Atmawo of Living Salt Ministries International. Sit back and receive God's undiluted counsel through God's chosen servant, Reverend Dr. Olufunsha Joseph Omidiro. Healing Unto the Nations, your life will never be the same again.
Praise the name of the Lord. Let us pray. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, we thank you because you have a word for your people at this time. I ask, O God, that which you have in mind shall be spoken and shall be well heard. Lord, let the power of the Holy Ghost take full control of everything that shall be said and heard, to the glory of your name and for the furtherance of your kingdom, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to share with you on growth in the kingdom. Growth in the kingdom. The Lord wants us to look at the eternal principles of God with regards to growth in all facets of our life, in all areas of existence. Because in the real sense of it, God is interested in all areas of our life. And God is the one who brings growth, who brings increase into our efforts in His presence. The Bible says, if Paul plants and Apollos waters, it is God who gives the increase. Now, there are certain principles that accompany growth or that determine growth in the kingdom of God. If we know these principles, if we apply them, if we walk in them, then we will be able to walk in the pattern of God, and then we should expect true growth in whatever we lay our hands upon. The desire of everybody is to have growth, development, increase in whatever good endeavor we put our hands in. The kingdom of God operates by certain principles. They are the mysteries of the kingdom. The Bible tells us that it is unto us that it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We discover in the Bible that when Jesus teaches his people, his disciples, he uses parables to explain matters of the kingdom, to explain the issues of the kingdom, the principles, the patterns of his kingdom, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God operates by certain principles that we need to walk in order to be truly successful or fulfilled in life. A call is coming out at this hour to those who want to walk with Jesus here on earth. They want to walk with Jesus here on earth. Those who desire true growth and success in all their endeavors. Mind you, what we are about discussing is basically meant for those who have decided to be conformed to the image and standard of Christ without compromise. It is the desire of God that His people enjoy walking with Him, that they enjoy serving Him. But they can only enjoy serving Him when they do all things in the way of God, in the pattern that the Lord has laid down. I pray that in the name of Jesus, you will enjoy serving God and you will receive grace to serve Him acceptably according to His standard, in Jesus' name.
I will give you praise, oh Lord, I will honor you, my King. You answered me when I called you in my trouble. You delivered me from shame. Oh Lord, holy is your name. Oh Lord, a strong tower for the righteous, mighty refuge. You delivered me from shame. Oh Lord, holy is your name. Oh Lord, a strong tower for the righteous, mighty refuge. I will give you praise, oh Lord, I will honor you, my King. You answered me when I called you in my trouble. You delivered me from shame. Oh Lord, holy is your name. Oh Lord, a strong tower for the righteous, mighty refuge. You delivered me from shame. Oh Lord, holy is your name. Oh Lord, a strong tower for the righteous, mighty refuge. Anointing fresh, anointing sweet, anointing. I need you. Anointing fresh, anointing sweet, anointing. I need you. Fall upon me. You are my strength. You are my source. I need. Come upon me, you are my strength, you are my soul, oh, so I need you. I need you. Anointing fresh, anointing sweet, anointing. I need you. Fall upon me. You are my strength. You are my source. I need. Fall upon me, you are my strength, you are my soul, oh, I need. Fall upon me, you are my strength, you are my soul, oh. Come upon me, you are my strength, you are my soul, oh, I need you.
Now we go further. So what we are discussing is all about those who live in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. We want to consider three important principles as taught by our Lord Jesus Christ himself and as demonstrated by him in his own life. In other words, Jesus Christ not only teaches it, but he also lives it out. In fact, the Bible tells us that it is put down in the scriptures what Jesus both also to do and to teach. What we see in the Bible speak first of all of what Jesus began first of all to do and to teach. So Jesus Christ is not a teacher who teaches without example. So we see these principles, we see these methods manifested in the life of Jesus Christ our Lord himself. The first thing is what I will call stepwise growth. We are going to see that in Mark chapter 4 verses 26 to 29. Mark chapter 4 verses 26 to 29. That is the first principle I love to share with you. May the Lord bless you as you listen and as you learn from the Lord in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 4 verses 26 to 29. But when the fruit is brought forth. Okay, let me read from verse 26 please. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, and then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately it putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Praise the Lord. Stepwise growth. This is what Jesus Christ our Lord is teaching us here. Growth in the kingdom is in form of stepwise growth. It involves seed casting into the ground. The Bible says the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The Lord likens the issue of casting seed into the ground as a demonstration of the kingdom of God. So when the seed is cast into the ground, there is something happening. First of all, the Bible says there will be a waiting period after the seed is cast into the ground. The farmer goes back into his house. He will sleep. He will rise night and day. And the seed will begin to spring up, begin to grow up. But the farmer himself doesn't know how it happens. When you put the seed on the ground, the only thing you know is that you have put something inside the ground and you go. But the next thing that begins to happen is that it begins to come up. The process of coming up is real. You may not see it all, but nevertheless, it is real. The same thing goes in the kingdom of God. When we want to see growth in whatever we do in the kingdom, it has to follow this pattern. There will be a waiting period, a time of patience. The man will brood over it. He will go to sleep. He wakes up. He goes to sleep. Growth is stage by stage. It is stepwise. The Bible says, as the thing begins to come up, it will first of all come up in form of the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. Normally, the corn grows within certain weeks. There are varieties of corn that grow within 3 months. There are those that grow in a little less than that. But nevertheless, it is not something that happens overnight. It happens over a time. There are a lot of things that you may be experiencing in your life. You may not be able to easily appreciate that God is at work in your life. Because in your own estimation, you think there is nothing tangible. You feel as if you are not really making any progress. It seems as if the Lord has abandoned you, but he has never abandoned you. Inasmuch as you are walking in his will, inasmuch as you are following him, inasmuch as you listen to his instruction, you have no problem. The Lord wants to encourage you today that true growth in the kingdom is stepwise. If you see anybody who just rises all of a sudden, having no foundation, having no initial experience, he just rises up all of a sudden, be careful of such a man. Such type of success may not last. It may ruin him. The Bible also says that even in the church of God, sacred duties should not be committed to those who have not experienced God. So experiencing God is a supernatural experience, and at the same time, it is a practical experience that involves a lot of patience. When God is taking you through some drillings in life, it is because he's bringing you up so that you will stay up. Unless the Lord brings you up, you cannot stay up. It is only those that have gone through the school of patience that would last in life. Perhaps you see some people around you and you are envious of their progress, their prosperity. They seem to have been advancing so well. Well, do not be so troubled, because God has a purpose for your life, and he's taking you through certain routes in life because he has a high place for you. I want to tell you that our Lord Jesus Christ, in his own lifetime, passed through the same process. He passed through the same process. The Bible now tells us that growth is step by step. It is stage by stage. First of all, when what you planted is coming up, it will first of all come up as a blade. It will look insignificant. Thereafter, it will come in form of the ear, and thereafter the full corn. But what happens? By the time the full corn comes, according to verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth, the word brought forth there in Greek original language is ripe. So we can say, but when the fruit is ripe, in other words, when it is fully matured, immediately it putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. My prayer for you today is that your harvest will come very soon. Harvest of honor, harvest of glory, harvest of increase in the name of Jesus. You may seem to be laboring and laboring. You may seem to be doing all things the way you know, and you have been doing everything in all righteousness to make sure that it is well with you. God is watching you. Perhaps you are going through the growing stage. The growing stage is the toothing stage. The growing stage could be very rough. When the farmer goes back to sleep, he would have to rest. Whether he rests or not, what he has planted will not grow all of a sudden. It will go through the process. So it is wise to rest. Take your rest in the Lord. Take your rest. Take your sleep in the Lord. Relax in the Lord's mercy. Relax in his favor. And you will see growth taking place in your life. Now, harvest comes after the whole thing is ripe, fully matured. If you try to harvest before ripening, labor is wasted and there will be no fulfillment. A lot of people are watching other people. They are envious. They are watching the steps of others, comparing them with themselves, not knowing that God has a purpose for them. If you keep on watching others, perhaps these people are jumping the gun. Maybe these people are violating God's principles through some crook or unrighteous ways, crooked ways. They find themselves in the top. Don't envy them, because the judgment of God will overtake them. Success in life, true success, involves seed casting. You must have cast some seed on the ground. What do we mean by casting seed on the ground? That means labor, effort. You make good effort, you make the right labor. We have no testimony of victory and success unless we have cast some good seed on the ground of life. Keep on doing it. Keep on serving. Keep on being faithful. The Bible says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Reward comes from God. When you cast your seed on the ground, you will not see immediate growth. But keep on serving. Keep on being faithful in that which is good. God blesses efforts. The Bible says, if Paul plants, Apollos waters, it is God who brings the increase. He blesses efforts. We must have some correct efforts to make in order to receive the blessing of heaven upon our lives. Let me give you a practical example of a man as I outline this first principle to you. In Genesis chapter 26, we see the experience of the patriarch Isaac, the son of Abraham. Isaac. There was a trouble in the land wherein Isaac was dwelling. There was famine. And everybody was quitting. Everybody was migrating to Egypt. Because there was River Nile in Egypt. There was irrigation. And there was possibility that their agricultural efforts would not be lost. Now, if you look at verse 1, the Bible says, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. This was a great period of challenge. There was famine. The natural idea, the common sense idea, initiative of man was to leave the place and go elsewhere where things were better, for greener pastures. But God spoke to this man. My brother, my sister, has God spoken to you? Have you heard from God? Have you waited to know the will of God concerning your journey in life? The Lord appeared to Isaac and gave him a specific instruction that he should not go down into Egypt. Others could go, but not you. Others may, but not you. The Lord gave him a clear instruction that he should stay where he was. God can only bless what is right. If you cast your seed on the ground in the place where God wants you to be, what will happen to you? Let us see. Let us look at verse 12. What happens to this man? Then Isaac sowed in that land. Which land? The land where God told him to stay. In the land where the Lord told him to stay in. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. This is wonderful. He listened to God. He obeyed God. He cast his seed on the ground. Casting your seed on the ground means making effort. But it means more than that. It means making the right effort in the right place, in the right way, at the right time. If you walk in the principles of God, if you have the assurance that you are doing what God has ordained for you, and it seems things have not started working out, do not be discouraged. The Bible says within the space of that same year, Isaac began to reap 100-fold. Don't forget, it was in a land where there was famine. But because God was there with him, he survived. There could have been the temptation for him to eat up all the seed because there was famine, there was not enough food in the land. So the obedience of Isaac also involved sacrifice. Casting seed on the ground involves sacrifice. The seed, the corn, he could have eaten up. He decided to obey God and he invested in the land of his dwelling, where God told him to dwell. Now, when you are obeying God, in your attempt to obey God, it might not be easy. It might be sacrificial. It might mean that you have to lose some comfort. You might have to lose some convenience. It was easier for others to travel over to Egypt and get it done the faster way. But not every fast way is the best way. And not everything that glitters is gold. God is interested in causing his kingdom growth in your life. Because you live in the kingdom, you're a child of the kingdom, the pattern of growth in God's kingdom is what should happen in your life. And the growth is stepwise. First the blade, then the ear, and the full corn. Thereafter, you will have your harvest. You will have your harvest. I say you will have your harvest in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this same kind of growth in the life of Jesus Christ himself. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 verse 52 that Jesus Christ began to grow as a boy. He began to grow both in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. Jesus did not descend into the world in his full form as an adult. He was born as a baby. And he did not go to the cross as a baby. He grew to become what he had been ordained to become. In the spirit, he had the fullness. But he went through the process. He went through the process. He did not start the ministry until the age of 30 years. He didn't start even at the age of 12 when he met and he was discussing with the elders in the temple. He was sitting with them, waiting for his turn, waiting for his time. The Bible tells us that he began to increase in wisdom. If you take time to grow, you will increase in wisdom. If you take time to grow, you will increase in stature. That is what happens when you cast the seed on the ground. It begins to grow. The stature increases. The size increases. Then you begin to increase in favor with God and men. So this principle is found in the life of Christ. It shall be found in your life as well in Jesus' name. Jesus didn't rise all of a sudden out of the blues. He first came as a baby. First, the blade. And then the ear and the full corn. He started as a baby in a manger. He grew to become a young child, a lad, and later he grew to become a man. Even when he became a man, he went to John at the river for baptism. He humbled himself to enter into his ordained destiny. The baptism of John was baptism of repentance. Jesus needed nothing to repent of. And yet, he took his time. John was trying to resist. He was trying to object that, no. I couldn't baptize you. I am too small to do that. You don't need baptism. It is me that need it. But Jesus said something. He said, suffer it to be so. For so it has been ordained so that we might fulfill all righteousness. So there is a principle in righteousness that you should follow. And it is the principle of stepwise growth. May the Lord bring it to pass in your life speedily in Jesus' name. The second thing is what I will call the mustard seed sown. The mustard seed sown. So the growth in the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed sown. When you go to Mark chapter 4 verses 30 to 32, you will understand what I'm saying in a better way. Mark chapter 4 verses 30 to 32. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under and the shadow of it. Praise the Lord. This is wonderful. This is exciting. When we live according to the pattern of the kingdom, this is what is going to happen in our lives. The Bible tells us that the kingdom growth or the kingdom life can be compared with the grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all. It is insignificant. It is so tiny. It is less than all. Most of the time when you begin in life, you begin very less. You start from the low point. Less than all. When you are living in that level, nobody may see you. They may not hear your voice. They may not know you. Your name may not strike any chord. Yes, that was how Jesus Christ started. He started from the unknown to the known, like a mustard seed. He started as a carpenter, as the child of a carpenter. He started as a young carpenter boy in the rural place called Nazareth. He was in that silent period for quite some time. Mustard seed. Even when it was time for Jesus to begin the ministry, he was not jumping around, gallivanting, singing his own song, blowing his own trumpet. The Bible even tells us that he was trying to hide his identity. Most often, he didn't want to receive cheap popularity, but his work, his labor, his truth, his righteousness spoke for him. Praise the Lord. A grain of mustard seed sown, less than all, insignificant. Maybe your stage is like that of a grain of mustard, insignificant. Unknown, very small, but God gives you this wonderful encouragement today that you will not remain like that. You may seem to be less than all. The Bible says the grain of mustard is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Insignificant. But look at verse 32. But when it is sown, I want you to mark that. When it is sown, but when it is sown, it groweth up. Now listen to this principle that God is bringing out to you. When it is sown, when the seed is sown, it grows up. It doesn't grow up unless it is sown. It is only when it is sown that it groweth up. It becometh greater than all herbs. Remember, it was less than all the seeds that be in the earth before. But when it is sown, it becometh greater than all herbs. The first thing that happens when it is sown is that it grows up. It will not grow up unless it is sown. And how is it sown? You cast it on the ground. You lay it down. There is a seed in your life. There is a potential in your life that will make you great in life. It is after it is sown, it is cultivated, that it will grow to become great. There is a seed of greatness in your life because you are a species of destiny. You are a vessel of destiny, created in the very image and likeness of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But God is giving you this word that you have a seed in your life, but it must be sown first. So this thing in your life, the seed speaks of the potential, the seed of life, the divine content that is put inside of you that will make you to arise and to rise in life. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Job, in the book of Job, I want us to quickly look at it. The book of Job, chapter 32. I want you to look at verse 8. The Bible tells us something very wonderful about man, especially about you. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There is a spirit in you, and that is the seed of God in you. The inspiration of the Almighty working upon you begins to give you understanding to arise and to rise in life. It could give you divine ideas. It will give you ability to labor, ability to invest, ability to put in certain right effort. And when you are putting effort, that means you are putting your seed on the ground. You may have some seed of good ideas in your heart, but unless you cultivate it, unless you put it on the ground, it does not amount to anything. It does not amount to anything. When the farmer puts the seed on the ground, then he can begin to dream of a harvest coming. He will sleep. Remember in our first text, the Bible says he will sleep and wake up. That is speaking of a man who sleeps. It is a man who sleeps that will dream. He will brood over it. He will dream. He will sleep. He will have a dream. Now when you put your seed on the ground, that seed is like the grain of mustard. What happens? Even though it is so little. In fact, by the time you put it on the ground, it is more hidden. Before you put it on the ground, it is so tiny. Now you even bury it on the ground. You put it on the ground. Oh, it seems to be more hidden. But not so. You are preparing it for a great increase. There is a seed in your life. There is an idea. It could be a talent. It could be a gift. It could be an endowment from heaven. Unless you begin to activate it, it will remain dormant. When you put the seed on the ground, you are activating the potential inside the seed. Every seed is filled with a potential. Every viable seed is filled with the potential, genetic potential, ability to become something significant. The Bible says, when you put it on the ground, when it is sown, it grows up. It becometh greater than all herbs. You will become greater than your peers in Jesus' name. The Lord is taking you through a journey of greatness. That is why this message is coming to you. When you become greater than what you used to be, then that means you become recognized. You become dependable. The Bible says, when that seed of mustard is sown and it becomes so great, the Bible says, the birds of the air, the fowls of the air, will come to eat, to lodge under the shadow of it. The plan of God for your life is not for you to become a retailer, retailing to exist, but for you to become a wholesaler. What do I mean by that? The Lord wants you to be a determiner of other people's destiny, so that other people will rise up through you. You will not remain a parasite. You will not remain a dependent. You will not remain a hopeless person with no clear future. That is why this word is coming to you. There is a great increase that the King of Kings is bringing across your way. And it is inevitable. You will get there in Jesus' name. You will get there in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, when you look very well into the scriptures, you discover that there is a fullness that God is taking us into. But the fullness begins with growth. But growth will take place only when there is some sowing. There is some casting on the ground. When you cast on the ground, what God is saying is that you will rise up, you will grow up. So the principle of the kingdom is that the way up is down. The way up is down. And you will get up in Jesus' name. But you must cast the seed on the ground first. Kingdom growth begins from the insignificant to the significant. from the unknown to the known. We see this in the life of Jesus, that was how he did it. In so much that by the time he started his ministry, there were a lot of people from his village in Nazareth who began to wonder, is this not the son of Joseph the carpenter? Oh, where did he get this wisdom? Oh, why has he become so significant? They were so surprised, they couldn't believe it. But Jesus had been growing in the place of quietness, in the place of silence. There is a seed in your life. Allow it to grow. Don't be discouraged. Maybe you have tried something before and it failed. Don't stop. Don't stop trying. Don't stop moving. Don't stop going forward. You are going forward. You are going upward. You are going to the place of your destiny in Jesus' name. Let me quickly give you the third point, which has to do with from death to life. From death to life. That is another thing about the principle of growth in the kingdom of God. I first of all told you about the fact that growth in the kingdom of God is stepwise growth. And secondly, I told you that it is like a mustard seed sown. A mustard seed insignificant sown from insignificant to significant. And thirdly, I'm telling you that it is from death to life. John chapter 12, verses 23, 24, and 25. John chapter 12. What does the Bible say here? This is another principle that the Lord Jesus Christ shows to us. And he exemplifies this same principle in his own life. What Jesus teaches is what he does. He teaches us not only by precept, but also by his own conduct. Jesus is our perfect example. In John chapter 12, verses 23, 24, 25, let's see what the Bible says. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Let's look at verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Hallelujah. What is the Lord telling us here? He still compares the issue of growth in the kingdom with going from death to life. This is a principle that goes on whether you recognize it or not, whether you see it or not. When you put a corn of wheat on the ground, it will fall down, it will first of all be broken down. There is decomposition. Not only the corn of wheat, any particular seed you put on the ground, it will first be broken down. Okay? It will have to die. After it dies, germination begins to set in. From the broken down pieces, there is the process of germination. First, the blade. Then, the ear. And the full corn. But now, that is not where we are going this time around. The Bible is speaking of the issue of the death. And then coming back to life. Okay? Kingdom growth involves death. This may sound fearsome to some people. It may sound scary, but it is the truth. For anything to grow in the kingdom, it must first of all die. And Jesus Christ has shown it to us. The Lord Jesus Christ first laid down his life. He laid down his life. He lost everything so that he might gain everything. We are going to see that about the Lord Jesus Christ. If we look into the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verses 9 and 10, we will see this perfect example in the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It is very, very important that we really understand the principle This same principle in the life of Christ. If we are to be true disciples of Christ, we must live in consonance with the same principle of his kingdom, of his life. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Hallelujah. Up till now, God has just only one begotten son. But through Jesus Christ, God has got more sons. Praise the Lord. Now, we discover that God had only one son. That was the begotten son. But God now has a lot of adopted sons. We have received adoption into the sonship of God through Jesus Christ. God had to lose one in order to gain all. Eventually, what God lost, he still gained. But this same principle must also apply to our lives. That is why Jesus Christ says, in the verse that follows where we read the other time, that unless you lay down your life, you cannot gain it. Unless you lose your life, you cannot gain it. Look at verse 25 of John chapter 12 again. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Listen, the Bible says this principle applies in this world. Again, it says, he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So the principle of God is that same thing that we see in the life of Jesus Christ. If you are not ready to lose anything, you may not gain anything. Those of you who are into business know this, that every business involves some risk. It involves determination. And at the beginning, there will always be one thing or the other to lose. Now, the same principle applies to the generality of the kingdom of God. It is only when there is death that the resurrection power is brought to bear. If you take time to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 42 to 45, you will see what we are saying. The resurrection power of God, the ability of God to cause resurrection to take place, was not known in the fullness of it until Jesus died and resurrected the third day. But he had to die before he could resurrect. So the power of resurrection is only operative where there has been death. And it is this same power of resurrection that brings growth, that brings increase. It is the power of God's glory. Hallelujah. When that power of God's glory comes upon a man, it must first of all entail that he loses many, many things, that he might gain much more. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 42 to 45. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Hallelujah. So we see that God allowed his son to die so that the quickening power of God might be made manifest in him. From the example of Jesus, we have a stronger basis of assurance that even though we die, we shall live again. That there is the hope of resurrection for everyone that believes in Jesus Christ. You will not perish. You will not be lost. You will not be annihilated. This is the kind of growth as found in Jesus Christ our Lord, our perfect example. Now, as we are closing this message, I want you to understand one thing now. Certain things must be laid down if we are to go up in life. The way up is down. The way of life is through death. Now we have the life of God because somebody died. Somebody decided to go through the place of death. And by going there, he conquered death. He could only conquer death by tasting death. Now Jesus has conquered death on your behalf, on my behalf, so that we shall live forever. Even though the body dies, you will rise to reign with Jesus. In order to enjoy the resurrection glory, we must grow by first of all dying. All your pride must die. Your self-confidence, your self-glory, you must lay them down. All your Egyptian pomp and pageantry must die. Before God could use Moses to become the leader of the people of Israel, God had to deal with him. God could not use a prince in Egypt to save the redeemed people. God brought him through the land of Midian. He shed all the weight of pride, of self-arrogance and all of that. And eventually he was brought through the place of humility. So the place of death is the place of humility. If you want to experience glory in life, your pride must die. Your self-glory must die. Your self-confidence, self-righteousness must die. And you must obtain the righteousness of Jesus. That is exactly what Paul is telling us in the book of Philippians chapter 3. If you read Philippians chapter 3, especially from verses 9 to 11. He says that I may be found, not having my own righteousness. I want my own righteousness to die, but that I might have the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. So he had to lay down all his self-righteousness. He said, now I desire, I press upward, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. What does it mean? He was ready to die with the Lord, so that every old excesses, old man, old ways of life, the way of Egypt would die, so that the way of glory will come forth. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are trying to combine the life of Egypt with the life of the redeemed. Those are the mixed multitude. They all perished in the wilderness. If you want to go far with God, you must live all for God. The old must die for the new to emerge. There is something old in you which must not continue with you if you will arise and increase in the kingdom. If you get to the next level in life, my prayer is that you will get to the next level in life and you will achieve that glorious growth in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Mighty God, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the ministry of your word. I pray today that you will cause your word to be more understood than the way any man can explain. Lord, I commit your children to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, this quickening spirit, the resurrection power in Jesus Christ, to transform your life, to bring great growth, increase, advancement into your life in Jesus' name. You will not remain little in the name of Jesus. Your potentials will not perish in Jesus' name. You will advance continuously and you will be fulfilled in Jesus' mighty name. Expect more from God because the Lord has done something in your life. Thank you. God bless you.
We believe the Lord has blessed you through the ministry of His Word. It's your turn to go and act upon it. For further information and inquiries, contact us. Apostolic Teaching Ministry and World Outreach at Mawo, Living Sword Ministries International, Plot 3 at Derbibi Layout, directly opposite Bishop Phillips Academy, Iwo Road, Ibadan. GPO Box 12440, Ibadan, Nigeria. Email info@livingsalt.org or atmawo@livingsalt.org. Visit our website today, www.livingsalt.org. Jesus Christ is Lord.